The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
In turning down the invitation to attend an ecumenical service in Armagh, recognising the partition of Ireland. Now, I would have thought that if you are the president, there are fewer political slam dunks than this one to decline. Because the notion that the president of Ireland would say, yes, I will happily go and attend a commemoration of a partition that plunged us into civil war and that led to subsequently several decades of murder and maiming and conflict, and that constitutionally we stood against for the best part of our country's existence until we gave up that constitutional amendment in the Good Friday Agreement. I would have thought that was something of a no-brainer. It's like being asked to go to the anniversary of the night your house got burgled. But anyway, what do I know? If you have a view on this, we are running a poll and would very much appreciate your views. It is at PatKennyNT is the Twitter handle for the poll. Now, the M50 is being taken in hand. It is going to become a managed motorway. What a managed motorway is, I am not 100% sure, but the man who will know is Conor Faulkner from the AA. Conor, a managed motorway is what?
Well, it certainly sounds better than an unmanaged motorway, Anton, doesn't it? But, I mean, in effect, what it means, the M50 at the moment has 100 kbh speed limit on it for its whole length, and you join it, you go where you're going, you leave it, and it can get very, very congested. What's proposed is that the traffic authorities would have the power and be able to vary the speed limit on the M50 at any given section on the M50 on a given day in response to weather conditions or traffic conditions. So we get a frosty morning, for example, they can reduce the speed limit at certain sections. And they would also have the capacity to close individual lanes if that was necessary. So let's say, for example, you have a traffic collision, a junction further ahead. You might close the outside lane, and you do all of this by way of overhead signage. So there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't do this. And in fact, it probably should have been taken in hand some time ago. But collectively, what it'll mean is it'll mean that they can actively traffic manage the flow on the M50. And this works quite well elsewhere, Anton. I mean, you can see, for example, that counterintuitively, it might be possible to get more fluid through the pipe, so to speak, at a lower speed. So reducing the speed limit on the M50 on a given morning, it mightn't feel like that's going to speed things up, but paradoxically it can. If you know there's congestion ahead, you can delay traffic arriving to it and make sure that everything is a deal more smooth. So, you know, on the face of it, perfectly good idea. Certainly well worth trying. Needs a bit of investment to do it properly, but apparently they're going to start doing it from this autumn, and we will become familiar with it thereafter. What we'll notice as drivers is more overhead signage, and the speed limit will be displayed on that overhead signage. And if the speed limit on that signage drops, then you must drop your speed. And that's what we'll get used to as M50 users.
Is that legally enforceable? Because my understanding was that bylaws had to be passed by local authorities to define speed limits. Can they be made variable like that?
Well, they can, but you need a special law to do it. Now, we have motorway bylaws, so that, you know, they apply irrespective of local authorities, and similarly on the M50. Generally speaking, in Ireland, we don't have what they call regulation by sign, which means that when the local authority is setting a speed limit, it actually needs to stipulate the road and the coordinates of the road, rather than just saying to the motorist, wherever you see this sign, that then is the speed limit. So it's a little legally complicated, but in all honesty, Anton, it's not that complicated. You just need an enabling law allowing this to be done on motorways. So, I think that's been achieved, and there's no particular reason why it should be complicated. Speed limits elsewhere have been very complicated and have frequently been legally challenged. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, somebody gets done on the M50 and tries to challenge these laws as well. I mean, we're kind of used to that. But challenges notwithstanding, this is a perfectly sensible arrangement. And it means that the motorway itself can be dynamically managed.
Will it cost a fortune, though, Conor? Because you've got the infrastructure of a bucket load of cameras. You'll have to have a headquarters somewhere with a bucket load of TV screens. And you'll have to have a bucket load of people both in the headquarters looking at the TV screens, making the decisions, and people, I assume, travelling the motorway to back up whatever the signage is saying.
Well, we have all of those already, funnily enough. I mean, you've got the room with the bucket loads of cameras. It's actually down, physically, it's down close to the entrance to the port tunnel. There's a big traffic management centre there, and they've got the screens where they can literally see the M50. Physically, those overhead gantries are there already as well. Now, they're going to put in more, and they're going to put in gantries on slip roads, etc. as well. And we do have, the Gardaí attend on the M50. There's rescue can occur on the M50. So if a car is broken down, there's a system there to remove it. So it's already sort of a quasi-managed motorway, if you like. And I think the only real difference we as punters will know will be variable speed limits. What's the speed limit on the M50? Well, it'll depend day to day, and it'll be the sign that tells you, the overhead gantry that tells you. And if you think about it, Anton, that could be very sensible. I mean, it's only September, but as we get to Christmas in January, we're going to have mornings where it's a stormy morning, or it's snowing, or there's ice on the M50. And in a context like that, perfectly sensible for the overhead gantries to reduce the speed on the lanes. Incidentally, I think not just on the M50, I think that will be very valuable on places like the M4 in Kildare or the M7 in Kildare, slow the traffic down on a foggy morning heading towards Dublin. But it's the future. I mean, it is a degree more technologically advanced and a degree more interactive than what we might be used to up to now. But it's certainly a sensible thing that they should try actively managing the M50.
What about the broader existential question? Because Connell has texted to say the M50 needs to be tolled on entry. A plumber working from D7 to D15, or rather from D7 or D15, working in D20 pays, while a surgeon in Fox Rock working in Sandyford pays nothing. This goes back, Connor, to the M50 was never what it was meant to be. The whole idea was that it was a big giant bypass and not to be used as a commuter belt. And it has become Dublin's and the country's largest car park. Do we need to go back to the drawing board, start in Balbriggan and end in Wicklow?
No, I don't think so. You're right in what you say. I mean, the M50 is to some degree a victim of its own success. Can we imagine what the city would be like without it? It'd be truly screwed. But why do you build a motorway in the first instance? You build a motorway in the first instance because you don't want traffic in the suburbs. So let's say, for example, we put a toll on the M50 between Fox Rock and Firhouse. Now, that might, you know, the person who has this sort of mental picture of a rich person in Fox Rock, to hell with them, you know, they might be to some degree satisfied at the thought that that surgeon's going to pay a toll. But nobody in Dundrum's going to thank you. Dundrum would be utterly congested if there was a toll on the M50 at that point. In fact, the M50 was built to relieve suburbs like Dundrum. And when you put a toll on it, it's just like opening a sluice gate. You channel all the flow back into those suburbs and nobody wins. You wind up with additional congestion. The M50 only has one toll on it because originally there was only one toll bridge, the Westlink toll bridge. It wasn't a toll motorway, it was a toll bridge. And actually, I think the opposite. I think that toll should have been removed long ago because the bridge is long since paid for. And really, the only reason for charging a toll there at all is because we can and we want the money. So I'd go the opposite way. I mean, the point remains a fair one. We have a city that's very congested. And when we have a city that's very congested, you want to encourage people to use other modes and not to use cars. But actually, in the purest sense, the worst way to do that is to toll your motorway. That's where you want the cars. You don't want them in the suburbs. But there's a lot more that can be done to manage the broader traffic problem in Dublin. And incidentally, Anton, that begins and ends with the provision of public transport. That surgeon in Fox Rock that the listener doesn't seem to like wouldn't be on the M50 at all if he lived in London. He'd be taking the tube to work.
Connor, you can't suggest a surgeon getting on the bus. Whatever next?
Well, there's a snobbery thing here, Anton, and you know, snobbery is every bit as unattractive when it runs in, you know, the opposite direction to normal. But it is a snobbery thing, and there's an assumption made that there are people out there who are in their cars because they're just too lazy or too snobby to take the bus. And that is simply not true, demonstrably not true. We don't have empty public transport in Dublin. It's all full. It's not as if, you know, people are driving alongside the Lewis because they don't want to rub shoulders with the common man. It's not true. The Lewis is jammers. Every public transport asset we possess is stuffed full to the gills. And wherever public transport is good, it's more likely to be used. So the problem is not that we have a population that is uniquely up itself and doesn't want to use public transport. That just, you know, it may make some people feel good, but it's the wrong diagnosis. The problem is we don't have the public transport provided. As I say, when was the last time you hired a car in London, Anton? It never occurs to anybody to do so because you assume you can just step onto the transport system and go where you want to go. That's where Dublin needs to get to.
Connor, thank you very much. That is Connor Faulkner, traffic and transport commentator. If you want to get in touch with